Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents My Three Billionaire Bosses by Molly Eden, narrated by Jen Jaden and Javi Wilder. Chapter 1. Miley. Hiss. Splat.
I jumped back as the steam from the frothing wand sprayed over my pinstriped shirt, dousing me in dots of milk for the fourth time today. Gritting my teeth, I turned off the frothing machine, but it was too late to escape Xander's always watching eyes.
It's too hot. You need to make sure the milk is cold when you make foam,
he intoned, stepping forward to take the metal canister out of my hand. I resisted the urge to snatch it back, or dump it on him. Fuck off, Xander, I offered silently, wondering if he just waited in the shadows for an opportunity to mansplain things to me, or if his timing was merely impeccable.
Thanksy, I replied sweetly. I keep forgetting.
I didn't forget. It was just the nature of working at a busy cafe. I couldn't keep up with the flow of drink orders and not expect to get dirty. But I didn't bother explaining that to Xander, whose shirt was inexplicably clean. That probably had something to do with the fact that he played pseudo-supervisor and didn't do any work. I let him take the caked container, and I stepped back, brushing the back of my hand against my forehead to pull the annoying stray strands of hair from my face. Inevitably, pieces had come loose from the high ponytail during my shift to tease and irritate the skin on my cheeks and ears. Under normal circumstances, the tendrils probably wouldn't have bothered me so much. But with the fusion of current company and mounting stress on my shoulders, every little bit was getting to me.
As always, a low din settled around teetotalers, the mid-afternoon crowd half filling the quirky, jungle-themed cafe with a mishmash of businessmen and college students. A whining pop song played through the speakers, Xander's dated playlist only wearing on my already frayed nerves.
You really should keep another shirt here, Xander went on, setting the wiped canister back on the espresso machine for me to start again,
instead of doing it himself, since he was such an expert.
The way you get dirty, it only makes sense that you keep a wardrobe on hand. God forbid Sandra walk in and see you looking like you do. She's salty under the best of circumstances.
He winked teasingly, and I stifled the urge to give him the finger.
Not all of us have the luxury of having our mommies doing laundry for us.
I choked on the word somehow, reminding myself that getting into it with Xander would serve absolutely no purpose but to create a hostile work environment. Turning back to the order, I fixed my full attention on the latte, careful not to wear any more of the steamed milk on my uniform. I still had another 4 hours before quitting time, and I already reeked of sour milk. I could add that to my list of grievances with my day.
Here you go, Al,
I chirped with as much cheer as I could muster, handing the paper cup to the blonde regular who waited in the line. She flashed me a quick smile, still talking on her phone, and turned away without a word to me. Despite the name tag on my shirt, I had no doubt that Elle, like all the other business people who flocked through the doors of this chain, had no idea what my name was, despite the fact they had been coming in as long as I'd been working there. There were way more interesting things to look at in teetotalers than my exhausted face. The leering fish in their wall tank were easier to feast one's eyes on while waiting on a coffee than the actual human in front of you. Not that I could necessarily blame the customers. I often found myself staring at the fish, rather than the patrons, lest I make eye contact with the wrong weirdo. As Elle used her hip to open the door while balancing her coffee, a manicured hand curled over the top of her head on the door, pulling it to allow her through. At first, she looked up in annoyance, But like me, her eyes popped to see the stunningly handsome face attached to the arm. For a split second, she froze, studying his face.
Thanks,
Elle choked as the tawny-toned man grinned at her, flashing a perfect array of ivory teeth.
My pleasure,
he replied, stepping aside to allow Elle out before stepping in where she had stood. My jaw slacked to see that he wasn't alone. His two companions were just as beautiful as him, although in very different ways. Surprisingly, the first man was the shortest of the three, though I couldn't be sure if that was accurate at second glance. They were all very close in stature, the tallest one, the blonde, who ambled in last. As he stood, his face twisted in an uncomfortable frown, as if he would rather be anywhere else. The middle man had black hair and eyes so piercing blue, I could feel them from where I stood. I barely knew which way to look between the trio, who exuded power with their confidence, expensive shoes, and casual but pricey button-down shirts. They exuded class and money. Or maybe that was just my hormones talking. Wave after wave of elegance radiated toward me, even from that distance, and I had to give myself a shake. All three of them were so very good-looking, it was hard to believe that they were all together in a group. The doorstop caught me gawking, his emerald iris taking me aback, the contrast to his honey complexion stopping my heart. But before I could manage a watery grin, Xander's voice was in my ear again.
The men from Silverpiece,
Xander piped in, shattering my reverie and the modicum of euphoria it had given me in the middle of my shift. Gritting my teeth, I pivoted and looked at him, his chin bobbing up and down confidently, like I should know what he was talking about.
What?
I barked with far more venom than I intended.
Those guys who just walked in, they're from Silverpiece.
I stared uncomprehendingly at him.
Is that supposed to mean something to me?
I asked, regaining my composure. The moment had passed, and I had work to do that didn't entail gawping at men way out of my league. Xander snorted arrogantly.
Really? You don't know what Silverpiece Corp is?
I rolled my eyes and returned to an order that slid through on the machine, ignoring the fact that the men had congregated at a table near the counter. I had a good view of all three from there, but I wouldn't let myself be distracted, even if Xander was still rambling in my ear.
They're a huge conglomerate,
he went on, despite the fact that I gave him no encouragement. He had never been very good at reading the room.
They own everything from hotels to fashion lines.
That's nice, I replied flatly. Can you get me the almond milk?
He grabbed the carton out of the fridge, his hazel eyes steadfast on the table as he thrust the carton toward me. His intense gaze irked me.
Stop staring at them, Z, I scolded him. Don't you have something to do?
I knew he wasn't scheduled on my station today. He snorted, ignoring my work question, but addressing my initial reprimand.
They don't notice us, Miley. We're the gum on the bottom of their shoes. They'd probably pay more attention to gum. Those loafers are worth like $5,000 a pop.
He's probably right. But it had no bearing on my life.
It's weird to see all three of them out here together,
Xander went on, leaning over the counter to stare harder at the men.
I've seen one or two of them wander through, but all three?
I turned on the espresso machine, sticking a cup underneath to catch the coffee. I wish I'd had occasion to use the frothing machine again, just to drown out Xander.
Maybe they're having a meeting,
I stupidly suggested, inadvertently encouraging the conversation. Xander scoffed at my ignorance.
They have an enormous office in the financial district.
Maybe it's a private meeting, I said, glancing at the men again. To my shock, they were all looking at me. My jaw slacked at their blatant gazes, a blend of green and blue, identical half-smiles on their faces. A hot blush tinged my cheeks, and I hastily returned to my job, swallowing the lump in my throat, wishing I hadn't dared to glance in their direction.
I can't believe you haven't heard of Silverpiece. I mean, anyone who's anyone has heard of Silverpiece,
Xander went on. Well, I guess that's how I've never heard of them, I quipped. I'm 24 years old and working as a barista. Forbes isn't exactly knocking down my door.
Not with that attitude, they won't be.
Xander scolded me, and I groaned, sensing what was coming before he started.
You need to manifest your success, Miley. Do you think billionaires just sit around before they're successful, complaining about what they don't have?
Oh, my God. Does he really want me to answer that?
You have to work hard and fixate on what you want, what you desire.
Even though I had no use for it, I turned on the steamer, making as much noise as possible to shut him up. I wished Xander would stop rambling about rich people without a hint of irony, like he wasn't working for minimum wage right beside me. I had poor people problems to wallow in, and with Xander going on about these disgustingly attractive executives, it was hard to focus on my own issues. My coworker finally got the hint and wandered off to bother Katrine on cash, leaving me to finish my drink orders, alone with my thoughts. I finished the third drink on the order and laid it on the serving counter.
Lincoln?
I called out, reading from the order.
Your order is up.
Immediately, the door holder rose from his spot at the table, those even, perfect teeth appearing again as he reached for the drinks. Despite my determination to keep my cool, my heart fluttered as he approached, and sweat broke out over my hairline.
Thank you,
he purred, verdant eyes scanning my figure to rest on the swell of my breasts against my shirt.
Miley.
My cheeks burned as I followed his gaze to my name tag, racking my brain for something clever to say. But when I looked back up again, he had reclaimed his spot among his partners. All three grinned at me now, and I inadvertently stepped back from the counter, hating the sweeping embarrassment inside me.
Cocky pricks. They're used to making women feel like this.
They're so fucking hot,
Katrine moaned, pretending to wipe the counter beside the espresso machine. I cast her a sidelong look.
You think?
I answered coolly. The cashier wasn't listening to me, her eyes glued to the executives, saliva almost dripping from her jowls.
You think I should post a pic of them? We're never going to get a chance like this again.
I frowned. Was I the only one who didn't know what a big deal these guys were? I needed to get out more. Not that it would make a bit of difference to me if I knew about them, I reminded myself again. Katrine slyly pulled her phone out of her back pocket, scanning the area for our manager, Drew.
If you want to get your ass fired,
I replied, turning toward the storeroom.
Go for it.
I didn't want any part of it.
Sandra won't fire me. She'll be jelly she wasn't here to see them herself,
Katrine chirped.
This is good publicity.
I didn't bother responding. The fascination with the rich and famous would always be a mystery to me. Unless that fame was somehow going to pay my never-ending influx of bills, I had no interest in what others were doing with money I would never see in my lifetime. I didn't care about Silverpiece any more than I did about any other corporation, even if their founders were much more attractive. My phone vibrated as I entered the back room, and I glanced over my shoulder to ensure the manager wasn't nearby. I wasn't supposed to be using my phone during my shift, and unlike some of my coworkers, I tended to respect that rule. But it was right in reach, Grabbing for it out of my locker, I glanced at the notification and paled, wishing I'd waited until after my shift. I should have known that it wasn't good news.
Still waiting for your response to the rent increase, Miley. If I don't have your answer by this weekend, I'll assume you're out by next month.
The wind knocked out of my lungs, and I dropped the phone back in my purse, my heart hammering in my chest as I secured my belongings again. How the hell was I supposed to afford an extra $600 a month? How was this even legal? But admitting I couldn't afford it meant telling my landlord, which meant officially giving notice, which meant finding a new place, which meant getting first, last, and security together. I was royally and totally screwed. No matter how much I worked between now and then, even if I picked up a side gig, I would never be able to scrape up enough. I was going to end up living in O'Hare, or in one of the tent cities. My gut twisted, and my hands went slick with sweat. It wasn't a delusion. It was the next step for me. I was in real trouble without any options for salvation. I didn't have a mommy's basement like Xander, or a boyfriend like Katrine. There was no rich uncle to borrow cash from. What the hell am I going to do?
Hey, it's getting busy out here, Xander yelled from the front. You hiding back there?
Steeling myself against a mini breakdown, I grabbed the stack of medium cups I'd come to replenish and headed back out toward the front to do my job. A panic attack never solved any problem, so I needed to redirect my thoughts before I went down that path. In the end, I would still be left to pick myself up and deal with it. I just had to put my nose to the grindstone and keep working. And praying. Maybe an asteroid would hit the Earth later on in the afternoon and solve all my problems. Wouldn't that be nice? Chapter 2. Miley. Xander hadn't been kidding. In the few short minutes I'd been in the back, the cafe had exploded with patrons. But that was the nature of the business. It could get packed at the drop of a dime when we least expected it. I jumped back on coffee orders, my view of the silver piece princes blocked by the throng of customers who lined the busy shop. Order after order popped up through the machine, and I found my groove, ignoring the knot of despair that had formed in my stomach after reading the text on my phone, until finally, blissfully, the numbness settled in, and I blotted out my personal troubles. Work was always good at blocking out everything else. I'd grown good at this apathy over the years, stuffing down the stress until it became a dull throb, manageable in a fog from somewhere removed. I would have to get back to my landlord tonight, let her know I was leaving the crappy studio apartment in Washington Park that wasn't even worth $600 on its own, never mind a $600 rent increase. Again, I marveled at the legality of it, but refused to succumb to the anger bubbling inside me. It was useless. There wasn't a damn thing anyone in my position could do about it. After 45 minutes, the rush began to die down, and I finally took a breath, reaching for my metal water bottle for a long sip, the cold liquid filtering down my windpipe. When I snatched another order from the machine, a loud voice caught my attention before I could start on the iced coffee on the paper order.
Get away with this!
The man boomed. I caught another voice, the din of the cafe blurring the conversation.
Out of here, Richard,
someone growled, drawing me out of my haze. My gaze shifted toward the table where the silver piece babes had been seated, and the black-haired, blue-eyed god stood, facing off with a complete stranger who must have come in when I had lost myself in the rush. The newcomer's face was crimson, agitated. Lincoln and his blonde partner remained seated casually, but the nameless silver piece executive, appeared very tense with this Richard's presence.
Screw you, Paxton! You have no right!
Richard yelled, his face flushing more. Fists closed at his side. I was starting to worry about his health. The plastic order cup in my hand found its way to the counter as I sensed a problem unfolding. I set it down, the drink order forsaken for the moment, as I tried to get a handle on what was happening. Patrons stopped talking to watch the fight growing more heated, and my manager, Drew, backed toward the storeroom. I stared after him in disbelief. Seriously? He's just going to let this play out? I shouldn't have been surprised. Drew had never been very good with conflict.
Don't tell me what to do, Richard continued. This is a public fucking place. I can do whatever I want.
No you can't, I thought, starting around the corner.
Whoa.
Xander grabbed my arm.
What the hell are you doing?
I glanced at him, shaking my head. Stopping this shit, I grumbled, shaking him off.
You can't put yourself in the middle of that,
Xander breathed nervously.
It's probably some Fortune 500 brawl. You'll end up all over social media.
I rolled my eyes and stormed around the counter, shoving my way through the small crowd forming. Richard's voice raising and getting more obnoxious. Maybe the guys were too chicken shit to stop this, but I wasn't going to let them disrupt my workday anymore.
Seriously, fuck all of you,
Richard went on, waving his hand theatrically.
You have no idea who you're fucking with.
Sit down, Richard,
one of the Silverpiece guys muttered, but I didn't see who as I made my way through, although I thought it might have been Lincoln's voice.
You sit down, you goddamn...
Sir, I snapped, interrupting as I finally materialized at the table. Startled, all eyes turned to me, their argument abruptly ending. The black-haired man in the Silverpiece group frowned to see me. But before anyone could say a word, I went on. You're going to need to calm down. Lincoln snorted and smothered his laugh with his hand. But either my order or the man's snicker incensed the enraged Richard more. He turned his wrath on me.
Fuck off, lady!
He barked at me, stepping subtly closer.
This doesn't concern you.
Great. Another egomaniacal asshole who thought big, scary words would get me to scamper off with my tail between my legs. Nonplussed by his tone or his words, I stepped between him and the black-haired man, jutting my chin out. He definitely judged me wrong if he thought that would scare me off.
Sir, I really need you to take a step back now.
Richard bared his teeth at me like he was going to bite me.
Go back to work, bitch.
Don't talk to her that way, Richard,
Lincoln growled.
Don't tell me how to talk to anyone, Lincoln,
Richard spat. But I didn't need Lincoln or anyone else fighting my battles for me. I smirked, unperturbed.
I'd love to get back to work, I replied,
my heart rate not even rising. This didn't even take the top 20 most alarming situations I'd seen in my life.
Except some obnoxious prick is screaming like a toddler who needs a diaper change in my place of work. It's very distracting.
Several of the patrons started to titter, and I realized that some were recording. Xander had been right about that, too. I was going to end up on social media.
Sandra is going to freak out when she sees this. I better tone it down.
Sir, please.
I tried again, backpedaling my initial sass. Can you please take your grievances outside?
Fuck you, you dumb bitch.
Suddenly, all three of the Silverpiece men were on their feet, and someone threw a punch. Blood spurted over the table as Richard fell back, gasping, and Lincoln pounced, grabbing the man by the scruff of the neck, hauling him toward the door as I gawked after them, my pulse finally roaring in my ears. I hadn't seen that coming.
"Are you okay?"
the blonde asked, reclaiming his seat as if nothing had happened. He eyed me through his peripheral vision, but I caught a hint of concern in his tone.
Yeah,
I mumbled, unsure of what else to say. I wasn't hurt, but this was humiliating. Xander rushed out from behind the counter, followed by Drew, but the black-haired man stopped both the workers.
"Hang on a minute,"
he ordered them.
"I want a minute with Miley."
Sure, Mr. Webb,
the manager said, keeping his distance as he looked at me.
"Miley, are you okay?"
I glared at him.
"Yeah, great. Thanks."
"No thanks to you, jerk. Great managing, Drew."
"I'm going to call Sandra,"
Drew mumbled, backing away. Xander remained between me and the counter, but Mr. Webb glowered at him until he, too, withdrew, leaving me standing helplessly at the table, unsure of what to do. Mr. Webb flexed his hand, checking it for damage, and sat down finally, reaching for his coffee. The skin on his hand wasn't broken, despite the amount of blood that had poured from Richard's nose. I wondered why Mr. Webb reacted so strongly. I didn't pretend to be flattered. It couldn't have had anything to do with me. It had just been a testosterone battle that I'd wandered into unsuspectingly. Clearing my throat, I eyed the men, folding my arms across my chest.
"I should probably,"
I started to say, but the door opened and Lincoln strode back in, appearing as nonchalant as his companions. The words died on my lips.
"I highly recommend that everyone erase any video taken of that incident,"
Lincoln called out pleasantly to no one in particular.
"I wouldn't want to track down anyone who posted it online."
He winked vaguely at the patrons, and immediately I watched as people scrambled to scroll through their phones, presumably adhering to his instructions. Wow. Imagine having that kind of power. I wasn't sure if I was disgusted or impressed. Probably a combination of the two.
"Well,"
I muttered, turning away to gesture at the mess the brawl had left behind.
"I should clean that up."
Lincoln took his seat and crossed an ankle over his knee, glancing at Mr. Webb, who met his gaze with steely blue eyes. They seemed to have an unspoken communication as I turned around.
"Miley, right?"
Lincoln called out to me. I stopped and looked back, nodding.
"That's right."
"Miley what?"
Lincoln's sudden interest in me took me aback, but I didn't want to be rude, even though I could see the orders piling up at the machine through my peripheral vision. It was going to be a pain in the ass to catch up if I didn't get back soon.
"Miley Lynn."
He nodded, showing those beautiful teeth again.
"I'm Lincoln."
He extended a hand toward me, and I accepted it briefly, turning to his counterparts, who made no effort to introduce themselves, and Lincoln did not bother either.
"I'm sorry about that,"
he said.
"Richard deserved more than a punch to the face for what he said to you."
I shook my head. "It wasn't your fault. And he's gone now. That's all that matters."
"For now,"
the blonde muttered, taking another sip of his drink. But I realized he was nursing an empty cup, his hands just looking for something to do. Again, Lincoln cast his companions a glance.
"Is this your full-time gig, Miley? Working here?"
My eyes narrowed slightly, but I hesitated, sensing a loaded question.
"Why? You offering me a job?"
All three men snickered.
"She's quick,"
the blonde offered lightly, and my heart jumped. I'd only been kidding.
"Wait, what?"
I laughed nervously.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?